So Elijah is ascending and Elisha is looking at him until he disappeared. Now Elisha is left with the mantle of Elijah. And Elisha has a ministry to serve the ascended man, or the God of the ascended man. This is a wonderful picture of the ministry now left for the saints in our era, to serve the ascended man. As we were singing at the end of the remembrance meeting, that the veil is rent, our soul drawn near. Well, after I draw near and have fellowship with God in Bethel, and I need to come and realize that I need to speak against the apostasy of the world. I need to realize that I am dead with Christ, but I'm serving a living, ascended God, ascended Christ. This is a wonderful thing. And this is, if you allow me to make this transition to Luke chapter 9. Because there in the Mount of Transfiguration, and if you look at the account of the Mount of Transfiguration that is mentioned in three Gospels, except the Gospel of John, there is a wisdom behind this. I'm sure the brethren will tell us why. In the Gospel of Luke, we have the account of the Lord Jesus as the humbled man, as the Son of Man. But the Son of Man is a man of prayer. He is going up, taking his three favorite disciples, if I can use the term, to pray. This scene is a wonderful scene. In Luke chapter 9, we read that the Lord is going there for the purpose of praying. And I have a question. This man of prayer that we saw in chapter 17 of 1 Kings and chapter 18 of 1 Kings, well, is there any wonderful resources in prayer besides being dependent on God and being the reflection of God's desires and being associated with the mind of God as we see it in Elijah and we also see it in Luke chapter 9? Sure. Let me rephrase this. In Luke chapter 9, we see the Lord Jesus praying. In 1 Kings 17 and 18, we saw Elijah praying. Is there any connection? Let's notice that in 1 Kings chapter 17, we saw Elijah bringing forth grace. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we see Elijah bringing forth judgment. Isn't that a picture of the Lord Jesus that once came as the gracious, full of grace and truth, but one day coming soon, he is coming to execute judgment? But the aspect of prayer there is, it's both and it's all according to the mind of God. And prayer, as we learned yesterday, connects the person that is praying with the mind of God a great deal. Just as an opening.
We see him praying seven times, I understand, in this gospel. I think our brother Sam, I don't know if he's still here, but years ago, he gave Sam Headley gave an address on that. I've never forgotten that subject. But this is wonderful how the Lord Jesus, who was perfect, and he was a perfect man, and yet he takes the dependent place that is the portion of man, because he's the Son of Man. And as you say, he comes, if I can use this reverently, into tune with the heart of God as to the kingdom, isn't he? Because he had said in verse 27, "But I tell you of a truth, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." And I think it's fulfilled in this vision present of the Lord Jesus in his appearance. Some say it was his deity shining through, but I don't think that's the thought at all. It's his glory as the Son of Man, as the King of the kingdom, his millennial glory.
There's also, it's interesting that in Isaiah 50 we get a reference to the Lord's character in this dependent way. And we see in verse 4, it says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, and I should know how to speak the word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned." And that's very beautiful, because the next verse, of course, which was read, the two following verses which were referred to this morning in the Lord's Supper, say, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." And it refers to what happened to him. And so the path that the Lord took in everything that he did, every step that he took, whether it was to go to the well that we heard about this morning in John 4, or whether it was to minister to the multitudes, or to bless the loaves and feed the multitudes, or to go to the cross, or to go to this mountain, everything was done in total dependence upon his Father. And so he received the instruction for each day, every morning. That's a good lesson for us too. Receive it in the morning, morning by morning, not evening by evening, morning by morning. So he was in the place of dependence. So every movement he made and every word that he spoke, he had received instruction to do that. So that's a wonderful, what a marvelous man. We can learn so much from just watching him in movements, because this scene takes him into, as you're saying, brother, into, and takes others also into a scene, this future. And I think their conversation here with the three is, they're talking about his exodus. He's going to leave this scene. He's going to leave it, and he's going to come again, though. How wonderful that glory refers to that.
I think the word is departure, isn't it?
Right.
It's not decease, as we have in the authorized version.
The word exodus is a good word, because that's the departure.